there's a good number of you in here who probably are not familiar with the Word of God being talked about as the Logos and the Rhema. Is that correct? Anybody like that? Okay, everybody close your eyes. Anybody like that? You don't get the difference between the Logos and the Rhema? Okay, yeah. Okay. Now, what I want to present is it's not in depth at all, but if you'll get the principle, you will see it and appreciate what the Word of God is. These are your golden years to know the Word of God. It's not optional. You have to know the Word of the Lord. You can't be Christians floating around, going to meetings, getting a little energy. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then go off somewhere. The Word is critical. So you need to know it. And the first way to know it is the Logos. And the Logos is the Word of God, more in a general sense, more in a sense of it being as a whole, more of a sense of it being the thoughts and feelings of God presented in the canonized Bible that we all enjoy. Okay, that's the Logos. And when I hear people speak about the Logos and then the Rhema, because the Rhema is different from that. The Rhema is the Word, the same Word. It's Logos, but it's Logos with the Spirit speaking to you, that Logos, and that transforms the Logos into Rhema, even though it's the same Word. And when that happens, that becomes Spirit and life, and that's good for our transformation, for building you up, and for all those things that will produce the bride of Christ. Okay? So Rhema is a big, big thing. Okay? But sometimes I hear saints speaking about this, and I believe they're not as accurate as they should be. And that is, they consider Logos to be totally outward and Rhema to be totally inward. And there's a big division between the two. And there's not. There's not this big division. The Bible does not set forth this big division. But it does set forth a definite distinction between what is Logos and what is Rhema. And we must be those who know the Logos so that the Spirit has a chance to make that Rhema in our being. Do you find, you follow me what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay, first of all, in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. This is a general statement that all Scripture is God-breathed. This shows a spiritual element and is good for a variety of things, right? Basically, all things that we need is good for all these kind of matters. Okay, and so that's an excellent verse to show the need for knowing the Logos. Okay, I hope you know the Logos. The Logos is it's a prerequisite, just like you have to take certain college courses as prerequisites to other courses. You can't understand the next course unless you get this other course are two down. You can't just jump into, you know, calculus 4. You have to take an orderly thing. You know, you have to go through algebra. Calculus has enough algebra in it. You can't just not know any algebra and say, I'll just take calculus. I come right out of plane geometry into calculus. It doesn't work that way. So Logos is very, very critical. Then in John 17:17, it says, the Lord says in this chapter, sanctify them, talking to the Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word, your Logos, is truth. Okay? It's the thought, it's the concept, it's the truth as it is that we need to know to enlighten our understanding so that we can progress on to the enlightenment spiritually so that we can have revelation and therefore rhema. Okay? Now, there's a second definition for word, and can you read this right here?
That's rhema.
Okay, now, read this right here.
Denotes that which is spoken.
See?
What is uttered in speech or writing.
Okay. That's good enough, you see. You see the difference? One is a more concept-based, and one is more what is uttered in speech, a spoken type thing. You see, this is where we want to get the speaking of the Spirit as we know the Logos, but we want it to be spoken to us by the Lord as a Spirit so it can become the Rhema, you see. Another good book, this is for you scholars out there. If you can get one of these books, the Interlinear Greek-English New Testament, you see, then you can go through and it has all the English on one side and all the English on another side with the exact Greek word underneath that English word, you see. So you can find out if the word word is used as logos or rhema. And it helps you to understand that passage like that, you see. Then I want to show you this. John 15:13, the Lord told the disciples, you are already clean. This is getting toward the end of John where the case is stopped. They have already stopped, and he's talking about some truth that leads up to the final days. This is very close to the final days, and then the last part of John is the final days laid out in a kind of chronological way. But John 15:13, the Lord said, you are already clean because of the Logos which I have spoken to you. You're clean, see, here. Now, see, this is my point. Even the Logos, if you will get in it in a daily way, consistently, if you'll just read a chapter a day, that chapter as Logos will serve to do a kind of job in you. Envision the disciples there. Do you not think they were just sitting with the Lord every day, having times, walking here and there, and so forth, and the Lord would speak to them, you see, something that was that is now our Bible, okay? And He would speak something to them, and their hearts, no doubt, were open. They were just taking this in. Later, don't you think they prayed about these things, fellowshipped about these things? And eventually, it did a kind of cleansing work in their being, you see. And you'll notice that the times you spend regularly reading the Bible as Logos does affect your spiritual life and cleanse you and keep you away from things that you should not be a part of and bring you to the Lord Himself in an easier, more fluid way all the time just by hanging in there and reading the Logos. Have you had that experience?
Yes.
Okay, so the Logos is very important to do this with, okay? Then John 4:12, you would not think that this was Logos because it's doing so many inward things. But again, I point out to you, the Logos is not to be underestimated.
Right.
Okay, for the Word of God, that's the Logos of God, is living. Even the Logos is living. Okay, that's in itself. Now, you may not have, it may not be living to us yet, but it's living. It's a living thing because all Scripture is God-breathed. It's a living thing. Okay, the Word of God is living and operative and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing. That's a lot of inward working, even to the dividing of soul and spirit. Yeah. That's a definite inward operation of Christ, right? Of joints of marrow and able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Okay, so the Logos here is again very applicable to do a work in us. But here you might say if you get into the Logos and it divides your soul and spirit because it's able to, but if you get in it and it really does it, then that word Logos really became a rhema word to you. Okay? Then 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul told Timothy, and that from a babe you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Okay? Paul really said, Timothy, you got a great start. You got a big head start. The scriptures are able to make you wise. It didn't mean, he didn't say the scriptures would save you, because they won't. But they could enlighten you to have an experience of Christ that would save you. See? That are able to make you what? Wise. Understanding. So you could respond and have an experience of Christ. Now, has anybody got any questions about logos? Okay, then with Rhema, it's easier. Matthew 4:4. And the Holy Spirit chose to use the word Rhema. But he proceeded and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out through the mouth of God. You see, that man lives on. If you live on the word coming out of the mouth of God through the Bible, then that is a Rhema word to you. You see, that is food. That is eating and drinking Jesus. Then Romans 10:17. So faith comes out of hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ.
Amen.
And you have to see this, that some action is happening. If you read Romans 10, you can see Paul sets up a little scenario about, how can you hear if you don't have someone to proclaim, and how can you proclaim if you're not sent, and so forth, and how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the glad tidings of peace, and so forth. Then he says, so then faith comes out of hearing. If you hear the word, you see, hearing it, if you hear it, spiritually hear it. You can't just think he means you hear it physically. Okay? But if you hear it spiritually, you see, the Word of God, I'll go out on a little bit of a limb here, but it's not much of one. The Word of God at that point becomes the Word of Christ. You see, the general Word of God becomes the applied Word of Christ. And so that's a Rhema Word. Then Matthew 26:17 is about our friend Peter, who had heard many of the logos from the Lord. And this night was not a good night for Peter, but at least it ended up with an experience. And Peter remembered the word which the Lord Jesus had already said. So that was logos, right? Mm-hmm. But it didn't count then, because it was not converted yet. But a rooster crows. But before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he did that very thing that night. And he went out and wept bitterly. Okay, he remembered the word which Jesus had said. And see, logos is stored in your understanding. And if you will live before the Lord, he will bring precisely and accurately, so that you're not confused, the right word at the right time, you see, and meet your need. And that will be a Rhema word to you. Out of so many hundreds and thousands of scriptures, you could exercise your spirit, and the Lord could speak to you the right word. Bring to your remembrance the right word. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
He has that ability. Amen. To do that. Amen. And sometimes it comes from somebody. Somebody will walk right up to you, and there's fellowship, and they'll just say something, and you'll just feel like the Spirit took that word and just went piercing into the depths of your being. That's Rhema. One time a brother was going to go out somewhere, and we were living together. It's back in the, we're still single days. And he was fixing to go out, and just kind of, he was going out and without that much thought. He was going out, and it was not an easy situation. But anyway, he had to do something and get it done. And I said, he was leaving the front door, And I said, brother, guard your heart. And thought, and just dropped it, you know, went about doing whatever I was doing. And he came back to me later that night, and he said, brother, that word was in front of me. It was in my being all night long as I did this and that and this and that. And it just saved me, you see. Amen. So we have to open to one another, you see. Sometimes that really works. I've been saved this week by someone else's word that they just fellowship a little bit, and it just, the Spirit took that into my being, and I said, amen, and I felt strengthened. See, amen. That became a rhema thing to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Then finally, Ephesians 6:17, receive the helmet of salvation, okay, so that you don't receive any negative things from Satan, cover up your mind. And the sword of the Spirit, that's for kill the enemy. The sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the Word of God, that's a rhema word. So when we really are receiving the Lord speaking and praying and pray reading, this shows a reading and a praying type exercise. We're really wielding the sword. We do more damage to the kingdom of darkness when we're reading and touching the Lord and getting the speaking of the word than we do by our pitiful efforts, right? We do a lot more damage
that
way.
That's right.
Okay, you got it? One's logos, one's rhema.